Last year, around this time, you know, we know that our lives really changed. None of us were ready for what happened last year. You know, none of us. The whole world wasn't even ready for what happened. And you know, some of us are still kind of recovering from some of the things that took place last year. But none of us were ready for that, for the news of, you know, lockdown, shutdown. This is a virus. This is a pandemic. And you know, our lives changed dramatically. You know, a year ago, you know, our normal way of doing things got hijacked. I mean, just like we couldn't hang out with people. I mean, there's so many things that we were used to doing that we had to stop doing it because what happened a year ago. I don't know if you were one of those that lost even this. I mean, you know, with the virus, it says that people will lose the sense of smell, the sense of taste. Check this out. We even lost the sense of time. Were you one of those that was like, what day is it? You know, like, we had no idea because we couldn't go to church. And, you know, it's like, and we were, even though the week did not change, but because how we did things change, we lost the sense of time. And it's like, is it Wednesday, Thursday? We had no idea because everything got affected by the coronavirus. You see, I remember it was Palm Sunday, just like it is today, a year ago, and some of us gathered, and some of you were watching online, and again, one of the things that I said last year is that even though, you know, we are dealing with a pandemic, God's kingdom never stops. You know, and even the pandemic could not stop the spreading out of the gospel because we use different platforms, and God's message is getting out. It's getting out to the world. Palm Sunday. Now, what is significant about that in our calendar that is called Palm Sunday? You know, for some people it might be, oh, Palm Sunday is the week before Easter. Maybe that's how they view it. It's the week before Easter. You know, we call it Palm Sunday. If you go in the Bible, you're never going to find that word, Palm Sunday. What you might find in the Bible, according to the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to see something called the triumphant entry, the victorious entry. That day when Jesus, the only time in history that he entered the city of Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Like I said, the four Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they tell us about the event. And that's one thing that you and I, as Bible students, we had to always pay attention when something is recorded more than once. You know, Jesus' miracle, and not all of them were recorded several times, but coming to Jerusalem, right in the city of Jerusalem on a donkey, the four Gospels, they have their own version of the event. The death of Jesus, how he was crucified, the four Gospels will tell you about that. The resurrection, the four Gospels, even some of the letters will tell you about that. So it is very important to pay attention when something is repeated through a scripture so many times. Now also, the triumphant entry is, you might call it the Passion Week. It's the week leading to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That movie, The Passion of the Christ, starts with Jesus in the garden after he already partook of Passover with the disciples. And so we call this the Passion Week. Or Palm Sunday, like it is in our calendar. But what is it about? One thing that I can tell you is this is the time where Jesus intentionally showed himself to the world as the king. You know, and you and I, when we're talking about time, how we lost track of time, Jesus never did anything by coincidence or chance. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. So this is one of those times in his life that he intentionally said, let's prepare, it's time for me to go in Jerusalem into the donkey. Jesus himself rearranged the whole getting the donkey and just the whole thing. He planned that. Because nothing in the life of Jesus happened by chance. He was always aware of the time. How do I know that? Do you know that phrase in the Bible that says, I remember when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman in John 4, Jesus said, the time is coming and it's already here. You remember that? The time is, or the hour is not here yet. So every time you hear, so it's like, what is he talking about? Because Jesus, you and I need to understand, he operated by a heavenly time frame, by a heavenly clock. John, the first miracle of Jesus, John 2. Remember the party, the wedding party, they ran out of wine and the mother said, hey, there's no wine. What did Jesus say? It's not my time yet. Remember that? He was always aware of the time. And so Jesus himself asked two disciples to go get the donkey because he realized it's time for that. He never lost track of time. He knew what he came to do. And so I can call the Palm Sunday the triumphant entry. It's a time when Jesus intentionally showed himself to the world as the King of Kings and the Messiah that people were expecting. The hour is here. You hear that? Or the time is not here yet. One time Jesus told the disciples, the time is coming when they will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered and all of you will abandon me. He knew what was going to happen in his life because he never did anything by chance. He knew exactly what, he never lost track of time. He knew what his mission on earth will be. So that's why in my own definition of the triumphant entry is that Jesus intentionally showed himself to the world. And so I want to give you the account from the Gospel of Matthew. Like I said, the other gospel writer, they talk about it. Matthew 21. Matthew is the one that says that Jesus told the disciples, go get the donkey and bring him to me. 21 verses 1 through 11. Reading from the ESV, the Word of God says, now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will, listen to this, immediately you're going to find a donkey there. He knew. You're going to find a donkey, tie and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. That is Matthew's account. So, tells you right there, John doesn't give the details that it was Jesus who told the disciples, go get the donkey, you're going to go into the village, you're going to find a donkey and tie there with a colt, bring him to me. He knew. Jesus was always aware of his time. So this particular event in his life, he realized it's time to do this right now. Also, you see that, I love what Jesus said. If anybody asks you, why are you untying the donkeys? Tell them the Lord needs them. And it's almost like they will understand. They will let you take him. And it happened just like the disciples obeyed. And they brought the donkey, you know. And so, but it's interesting because also another thing that you and I need to understand about this, what we're celebrating today, what we're remembering today, is that Palm Sunday, the triumphant entry, is also the fulfillment of a prophecy. You know, that's another thing that you and I understand about Jesus. Jesus had to be the Messiah because he fulfilled more than 300 prophecies that were written about the Messiah. This is one of them. People knew that the Messiah, when one way for you to know who the Messiah, to identify him, would be when that event happened, that he would enter the city of Jerusalem riding on a donkey. I mean, that's what Zechariah said hundreds of years before Jesus. And Matthew is quoting that. Check it out, verse 4. He said, this took place, the event, Jesus riding in Jerusalem, riding to Jerusalem, riding on a donkey. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. Zechariah 9:9, that's exactly that prophecy. He prophesied the Messiah riding on a donkey. I mean, another thing too, I mean, you can go back into history. How many people ever entered the city of Jerusalem riding on a donkey? And then you know that Jesus was the only one. So a prophet many hundreds of years before Jesus already said that that's going to happen. And he did. So you see, Jesus said, this is the time to fulfill that prophecy. It's almost like he was saying, this is the time to fulfill this one. And he was just fulfilling the prophecy, showing the world that truly he was the expected Messiah. Now, it's interesting because Jesus allowed the crowd to hail him as king here. If you go through the Gospel of John, John chapter 6, verse 15, after Jesus fed the 5,000, the Bible says that people were so impressed by the miracle that they wanted to force Jesus into the king. And Jesus, knowing their intention, the Bible says, he withdrew from them because the hour had not yet come. He knew that this is what he was waiting for. But it's interesting. People recognize Jesus. Hey, he can do miracles. He's the Messiah. And John tells us, Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, he left the crowd behind because it was not time yet. So, well, now it is time. He gets the donkey and then he's, you know, so to fulfill the prophecy, he's showing the world, and he let people say, Hosanna to the King of David. The only time in the history of Jesus that he let people welcome him as king. Now when he fed the 5,000, they wanted to, but not time. Now, during this event that we're talking about. You see, the disciples did just as Jesus told them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and people put their cloaks on them. And later on, and people, as they're entering the city of Jerusalem, people were cutting branches and spreading them on their robe. And Jesus is entering the city. And that's the welcoming of a king. People celebrated him because Jesus now is their expected Messiah. Verse 8, look at what he says. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. That's why we're singing a lot of Hosanna songs today. It's easy for the praise team to come up. Hey, it's Palm Sunday. You're not singing about being born in Bethlehem. No, it's Hosanna, what Palm Sunday is all about. Now, this word Hosanna means save us now, we pray. Save us, we implore you. Hosanna to the Son of David. You know, it was also believed that the Messiah will be from the lineage of David, from the family tree of David. So people knew that already. And that's why they're chanting right here. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That is also another quote from a psalm. Psalm 118, 24 through 26. And starts says, save us now, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. And look at the next verse. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. People quoting scripture as they're chanting, Hosanna, I mean, save us now. This is the time we've been waiting for. This is what we always long for. It's happening right now. Our king is coming. Our king is here. Hosanna, save us now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, they said. And it's interesting, Matthew adds this detail. The city was stirred up. Imagine the movement, or whatever was the convulsion that took place over there because Jesus is entering the city. And I wonder, people, what's going on? And the text says that people said, who is this? You remember the disciples one time asked the same question, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus of Nazareth in Galilee. Who is this? The prophet. To people view Jesus, the Messiah, as a prophet. There are religions today that Jesus is just a prophet for them. But you and I need to understand when you and I examine the scripture that Jesus had to be more than a prophet. Because prophets, yeah, they told about prophecies. They announced what was happening. But Jesus is fulfilling those prophecies. And so Jesus healed people and he did so many things. So he had to be more than a prophet. But again, this is the crowd's perspective. He's a prophet from Nazareth. And they welcomed him as prophet and king, the Messiah. Now, you and I need to understand something about the expectation that people have. Somebody said that you never want to disappoint anybody, or you don't want to be disappointed, don't have expectations. Because when you have expectations, eventually you're going to be disappointed because people will not meet the expectations that you have. And so the crowd had an expectations. They have expectations for Jesus, for the Messiah, for their king. You see, the crowd expected a king like David. When they say, Hosanna to the son of David. Remember, David was the second king of Israel. And he was almost like the model of all the other kings. Because you hear later on when you're reading some of the Chronicles and 1st and 2nd Kings that this king was either like David or he wasn't. And so David was, even though he was not perfect, he was the model of all the kings. Remember, it's the only king that God said, I have found David to be a man after my own heart. And then he said, God made a promise. Yahweh made a promise to David that through him, somebody was going to sit on his throne, and that throne will always continue, will never end. It was to David that the Lord made that promise. And so many, many years after David, people still saying, Hosanna to the son of David. The Messiah will come from the lineage of David. And so the people expected a king like David, a warrior, a brave heart type of king. And so that will come and give back the land to the Jewish people. At the time of Jesus, you and I know that the Romans were in charge. And the Jewish people enjoyed some type of freedom. But they knew that the Messiah will liberate them to the point that they will be in charge. That's what they expected of the Messiah. And so I just want to show you some of the expectations that people had. It's interesting. We go through the same thing. Sometimes we have expectations, but God has a different expectation. And our expectation don't match God's expectation, just like our agenda might not match God's agenda. And so you and I need to understand, like, because, you know, why is it that, let's say this took place on Sunday, by Friday, the shout, the chanting changed. I mean, right now, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. By Friday, those people that are shouting here, they will say, away with him, crucify him. Why? What made you change in a few days? What made you change your perspective? You said he was a prophet from Nazareth. What made you change your perspective about this man, Jesus? You said he was the king, and apparently now they're not embracing him as king. Why? What made him change? Expectations. The religious leaders have different expectations of Jesus. That's what they always butt-headed. That's what they always got in trouble. And so these people, they have different expectations. They wanted a political king. That's people's expectation. God's expectation will be a global king, universal. People wanted he's a king. He's going to reign in Jerusalem, a palace. God's expectation for Jesus after this, a cross outside the city. Remember, even the apostles did not understand that about Jesus. Remember when Jesus told them in Matthew 16, hey, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and they're going to do these things to me, and they're going to kill me, but on the third day I'll be back. Peter said, never, Lord. That shall never happen to you. Why? Expectations. Maybe I should have titled this sermon, Expectations. Because that's why the whole thing changed. So, they expected a geographical deliverance. The people wanted freedom right there where they were at and to enjoy. And by the way, even the Jewish people today, that's what they're waiting for, the Messiah. Those who rejected Jesus as the Messiah, some of the Jewish people will say in our community, what do you think they're waiting for? That one day the Messiah will come and the capital will be Jerusalem. He's going to reign there and they will be in charge. They're waiting for a geographical deliverance, salvation. God's agenda is going to be universal. Deliverance, not just from a territory, oppression from a ruler, no, from sin, from everything. This is God's agenda. And when they say, save us now, say, do it now, Lord. Right now, save us, we pray. And God says, I will, but not yet. Oh, I will save you, but not the way you expect to be saved. You know how sometimes we expect God to act on our behalf this way? It's almost like we already created the Lord, do it this way. You and I cannot put God into a box. There's no way that you and I can build a bigger box to put the gray I am in it. And so God said, yes, I will save you, but not necessarily the way you expect to be saved. He came to save people from their sin. You see, Jesus was the expected king. They embraced him as king, and they expected. But remember, the expectations they have for a king is way different than God's expectation of Jesus as king. He is the king. He was the king, and he is. You know, it is interesting to me when I read the scripture how they missed it. You know, I used to struggle a lot. Like, how is it that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they would study the law, the Bible, and Jesus comes, and they missed it. They completely rejected Jesus. And Jesus one time challenged them. He said, you study the scripture because you know by studying the scripture, you will find life. These are the same scriptures that testified about me. Yet I'm here, and you still do not believe me. And he boils down to that word that I've been saying, their expectations of Jesus. I mean, when you're waiting for a political leader and this guy just riding into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey, I don't know about that. But you see, people miss the imagery even in the prophecy. Remember, it says, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. He's humble and mounted on a donkey. If you study history, you never see rulers or kings riding on donkeys unless there was a mission of peace. You know, like you're going, I mean, usually if we're going to go to war, you got your white horse, I got mine, and then we meet, and then we try to come up with that. Now you're already saying, this is the type of mission that I'm going to fulfill. Even just the donkey aspect, the imagery of the donkey is humble animal, gentle. That's how Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem. But that did not fit the criteria of a king, like David. So they missed it. How many times we read something like, I don't get it. Why have to be a donkey? Even though Matthew talks about two, usually the Bible says that Jesus rode on a donkey that nobody had ever ridden. That's another miracle in itself. Have you ever tried to ride on a horse or a donkey that nobody had ever ridden? Good luck with that. Because the animal would not let you get on its back. And the donkey was okay because the donkey also knew it was time for the Messiah to enter the city of Jerusalem. Somebody created a cartoon about the donkey's opinion. The donkey was famous for that day because of who was riding on his back. And I can see the donkey telling all the stories, all the animals. Man, like, I don't know. People, I thought they were cheating. They were cheering me, but it wasn't me. It was the man that was riding on me. I mean, think about that. That day, I mean, the whole city of Jerusalem, it was like an uproar. And people shouting, everybody joining. It's like, he's the prophet of Jesus. Hosanna to the Son of David. But he came to fulfill a mission. But people had no idea what the type of mission that Jesus came to fulfill. He came to serve people. He came to die so that you and I can have life. Like I said, it did not take long for people to realize that Jesus was not going to fulfill what they wanted. God is not going to do what we expect him to do. You know how many times we throw the towel too early because God is taking so long? Have you ever been there like, well, but I'm been praying, I've been doing this, but he's silent, he's not doing anything. Sunday, people shouting Jesus. By Friday, you know, the same people. They told a governor, a Roman governor, away with him, crucify him. Why? I thought you said, not even a week ago, that he was the king. They don't want a king like that. Jesus did not meet their expectations, did not meet what they expected him to do. So for them, Jesus was an imposter. So away with him. We got to wait for somebody else because it ain't Jesus. And they missed the whole point. It was Jesus. Jesus was and is the king that entered Jerusalem riding on a donkey that day, nearly 2,000 years ago. And it's interesting, Jesus is king. And I remember preaching last year, because last year we were also on the verge of a new election, and people were like, didn't know what was going to happen to our country. And I had to bring that message to all of us, because I realized it doesn't matter who's in the White House, it doesn't matter what's going on, Jesus still king. And it doesn't matter what you and I are going through. Yes, there's a pandemic out there, but even that is not bigger than our God, because he is still king. And you know, when he was born, after he was born, maybe he was 2 years old, they were magi from the east. Remember that story? Who did they come seeking in Jerusalem? They went to Jerusalem to Herod. It's like, we're looking for the king that we know is born. We did our own research through astrology, and we realized a king was born. And we want to find him because we came to worship him. People, Jesus was a toddler, already people from the east, Middle Eastern people came looking in, for a king in Jerusalem. And before he was even born, the mother was told, remember Mary in the conversation she had with Gabriel, the angel, and Mary said, how will this be? You know, I'm a virgin. The Lord would take care of the details. You are to give him the name Jesus, Yeshua, which means Savior. Remember, Hosanna, save us, we pray. His name will be the Savior of the world. He will be great. And Gabriel said, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign on the house of Jacob forever. Jesus is king. Mary knew it. The Magi knew it. And it's interesting because, you see, if we are right now, let's say we are on the triumphant entry, that Sunday, Friday, Jesus had to come face to face with the governor. The religious people brought Jesus to Pilate. And we're going to get into that when we go Good Friday, you know, and Easter or Resurrection Sunday. Pilate had a question for Jesus. And it's interesting to me when you see the trial, Pilate did not find anything wrong with Jesus. He had the power to release him. He told the people, I find nothing that this man has done anything wrong so that we can imprison him or kill him. He's innocent. And I think Pilate went by like twice examining Jesus. Same. And one of those occasions, one of those dialogues between Jesus and Pilate, he asked Jesus, are you a king? And I want to show you in those verses, like John 18, 37. Pilate said to him, so you are a king. Jesus said, you say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is on the side of the truth, listen to me. At one time Jesus told Pilate, are you saying that on your own accord, or are you saying it because you heard people say it? I am a king, and for this purpose I was born. You see, he is the King of Kings. He is the king that was riding, entering the city of Jerusalem, riding on a donkey. Verse 36, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants will have been fighting that I may not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world. And then 37, Pilate said, so you are a king. Jesus said, you say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to me. And then the next question Pilate asked, and a lot of people asking this question today, what is truth? And he obviously, Pilate didn't realize that he's really looking at the truth right there. The persona of the truth is right there. Jesus, the truth, the way, and the life, right there. He was the king, and he is the king, the expected king. Now, it's interesting because you and I, you said Jesus Christ will come back to earth once again. To do what? You notice some of the prophecy that they have not been fulfilled yet. The whole idea that he will sit on he will be the king. Because right now, people are not bowing down in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is mocked. People use it as a curse word. And you know, right now, people are not bowing down, honoring the name of Jesus. But when he comes back again, Jesus will not be a humble servant. He's not going to be born in a manger again. When he comes back, you have the picture of Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that Revelation tells us about in chapter 19. That will be the time when Paul says that every knee will bow, that in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and even under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That has not yet happened. It's like you're watching a movie, it's something that says coming soon, but you don't know when. It's not going to give you, oh, it's in May. No, no. You don't know when, but any time. Because the Bible talks about it can be like in a blink of an eye. When you least expect it, Jesus decides it's time. Remember, he never did anything by coincidence. One day he would say, it's time to do that yet. Now. Just like he said, it's time to go into Jerusalem in that manner. Now I got to go get my people. I got to go and live among my people. That day when every knee will bow at the name of Jesus. Name above every name. In Revelation 19, you have a picture of Jesus riding on a white horse. And his name is the Faithful One. And he's waging war against those who rejected him. It's really a scary picture if you're not with Christ. Somebody wrote a song that says, Revelation is only scary if you're not in Christ. Yeah, if you're not in Christ, I would just recommend that you find Christ, because what's coming, you know, that judgment day. I mean, Jesus, it's interesting, the imagery, he's stained with blood. And it's not his own blood, because he already paid. The blood that he's stained is those that he is going to avenge, those that he's going to kill, because he said that he was treading upon them, those who rejected Jesus, those who mocked him. Now is vengeance day, the day of the Lord. That's what the Bible talks about too in some of the prophets, the day of vengeance of God that will come. You remember why the Lord says, vengeance is mine. You don't have to pay back people. He will one day. And when Jesus comes back, by the way, evil will be eradicated. Evil will be gone. No more Satan, no more temptation, no more virus. All that stuff will cease. And another part too that you see that Jesus taught us 2,000 years ago, taught the disciples, and we use this and we say that prayer, but sometimes we don't really pay attention to what we read in the Bible. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Part of that prayer has not been fulfilled yet. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Here comes a part. Thy kingdom come, your will be done. Has that happened yet? Now people can get into debate and say, oh, Jesus is already reigning. I hate to break it to you. Jesus is not reigning supreme like he will one day, because if he were reigning in your heart, we would never sin. We will always do God's will if he truly, even though we say, oh, he's our Lord. Yes, but we're not pledging our allegiance to him completely yet, because we're still dealing with sin. But one day when that happens, God's will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. And then you and I won't have to pray that prayer anymore, because his kingdom came, and now God's will is going to be done completely on earth. And then he's going to be the supreme, the global king of the whole universe. So even with your kingdom come, Jesus told the disciples, pray that prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. You know that God's will is not being done on earth completely. The will of his command, like we even in the government, you see, we pass laws that is anti-God, or we do things that's like that. God's will is not being done. That has not yet been fulfilled. When will that be fulfilled? When he comes back again. And I love that imagery in Revelation 21 that Jesus is already dwelling with his people. It says, now the dwelling of God is with man, and he will wipe away every tears, and he will be their God, and they will be his people. Because a new order of things will happen. And you know, you and I really struggle understanding that, because we think, I mean, we even make heaven to our liking. Like you, I mean, it drives me nuts sometimes when I see people like, you know, like I hear people, I hope that heaven has football or whatever. Do you really think you're going to need that when you go to heaven? Or, you know, or like somebody's cooking, like, oh, come on, man. Like, we have no idea. We want to, just like we do in our society, we want to make heaven conform to our liking, because we live in this world. This is what we like. So heaven has to be something that we like. It's completely not biblical. You and I have no idea what heaven is going to be like. I mean, when the Bible talks about this, you will not even need the sun, and that there won't be any more sin. And I mean, you and I don't understand that. Eternity, we don't understand it. Because we operate by clocks and calendars, and you know, we age. I mean, can you imagine you live in a society? Just view it this way. You'll be in a different dimension. When it's almost like you were birthed into that, and that's all you will know. You will not have a recollection or a memory of what happened to you, because if you did, heaven would not be a happy place. Because you'll be like, did Uncle Mike make it? Who's Mike? He has a new name now. But yeah, we have this concept of heaven that it's like, oh, I would like if... I mean, you understand this idea that God will be all you're going to need right there. And you're birthed into that new dimension, and it's like, that's all you're going to know. The all things, Jesus said, have passed away, have died. Look, I make all things new. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. I make all things new. When his kingdom, when his will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Jesus is the King. He was the King, and He is. And I hope that you and I have the right expectations of our King. Jesus is King, whether we acknowledge that or not. And one day, people will have to bow down to His name. You and I already done it willingly because we recognize, we embrace Him. And we want Him to be the ruler of our lives. Even now, as we're dealing with sin, we want Him to be really, like we sing, I surrender all, Lord, I want to do that. I want to operate as kingdom individual on earth that I represent You. You and I now are kingdom people, and we represent Him. But guess what? When that happens, the Bible even talks about that He will put you in charge of His kingdom. Can you imagine that? You and I are daughters, sons and daughters of a King. I would just leave it there. It's like, can you imagine all the privileges that you and I have? That we have given our lives to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's one of the names on Jesus' revelation. His name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's the one that you and I worship every Sunday as a family. And that's the one that you and I worship with our lives. And we want to represent that as best as we can as we live on earth. We look forward to the day when He will come back, entering heaven to make all things new for you and I. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know about you. So, but He is the King, and He will reign forever and ever. His reign, His kingdom will never end. And the beauty is that you and I will be part of that kingdom. The beautiful portrait of Jesus reigning on earth with His people. Would you pray with me this morning?